Welcome to the Round Rock Church of Christ Teaching Podcast. We're a faith community located in the central Austin area that gathers at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings. We hope this teaching blesses you as we become spirit-filled and spirit-led Jesus followers for those who do not have a home.
All right, I'll be reading Psalm 145, 3 through 7. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They will tell your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness.
This is the word of the Lord, church. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come and do us holy. Come, move in power, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Show us your face and your glory. Come and do what only you can do. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come and do what only you can do. Amen. Y'all can be seated.
All right, sorry. New guy, didn't know how all the switches worked. All right, good morning and welcome to Round Rock Church of Christ. If you're a visitor, we are so glad that you've joined us today. As was mentioned earlier, today is our Senior Sunday. It's a day we celebrate and recognize our seniors. My name is John Kay, and I'm one of the student ministry deacons at this church. If you regularly attend here, you may be wondering, why is this guy up there? Well, that's a fair question. So let me tell you a little bit about myself, and then maybe that'll give you a little bit of reference to start with. As I said, I'm one of the student ministry deacons. I've held that position for approximately 12 years, which means I've seen a lot of our youth group go through this building. Seen some of them since they were born. I could easily spend all my time today talking about the youth, talking about our experiences, talking about ways I've seen them serve and love and grow and become the awesome, amazing people that they are, but that's not what they asked me to do today, so I'll do that for you guys later. At this church, professionally, I also work with students. I am a school counselor by trade. I've done that for 24 years, a total of 31 years in education. So yes, people ask me if I am still sane. I like to say yes, but I'm not sure. So I've had a lot of experience working with kids. And so what I'd like to do today is to share some of my insights from my experiences and talk to you about our younger people in the church, and also about building bridges. Now, before I get started, I didn't do this in first service because there weren't very many of you guys. First part of the sermon, I'm going to talk about you, but at the end, I'm going to talk to you. Okay, so just give me some grace. I'll get there. Okay, if you have your Bible, if you will, please turn to Psalm 145. This was the passage that Leanna read for us earlier. If you don't have your Bible, we're going to have the passage up here on the screen. If I turn it on, that's a key. So like I said, building bridges. We're going to get to that in a minute. But Psalm 145, great is the Lord, he is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness. Verse 4, let each generation Tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. This is really the verse that I want to focus on today. In the Bible, several times, we see passages where we are instructed, if not commanded, to speak truth to the next generation, to tell the stories of God, to show our younger generations His power, His love, and to help them make connections to Him. We're charged with passing on our faith to the generations that follow us. Now, as you go through and if you look at different translations, the word commend is also proclaim, praise, laud, tell your children. There's different words, but all have the same meaning and all give us as an older generation the same charge of building that bridge to help our children connect with God. And that's really as parents and as non-parents, but people who are part of a church, that's a duty that has been placed on us. So if you think, well, all my kids are grown, or I don't have any kids that attend this church, so I get a free pass today, you're wrong, okay? We're all in this together. Now, as we talk about generations, we need to take a look at what that looks like today. So in the world today, we live in a world that is determined to create divisions between people, whether that's generationally, economically, socially, politically. We build generations, we build divisions, and that has leaped right into intergenerational relationships. So, what I'm going to talk about is specifically some of the different generations. And we're specifically going to talk to Gen Z, because that's you guys, okay? And it's also some folks who are a little bit older than you guys, who are not sitting down here with you, but it all kind of rolls together. So, in the past, generations typically would clash over things like music, fashion, language, and relationships. There are some of you, and I'm going to say this and I say it with love, there were more in first service, but there are some of you in this service who remember what it was like when Elvis came out and the clash between you loving it and your parents hating it. There's also some of you who will remember in your generation, maybe the trend was to grow long hair. Jim Flemons dared me to say he was part of that generation and he's never cut it. So that's my shout out for Jim. But we've clashed over what today would seem like smaller things. Today what we're dealing with are those same issues. But in addition, we're dealing with things like social justice. We're dealing with identity and self-image. We're dealing with gender relations. We're dealing with socioeconomical politics. The list of things that divide our generations has actually grown, and what that has done is made us more entrenched in what we believe and less likely to hear what the other generations around us believe. So I'm doing a lot of talking about generations, and some of you may have questions about this. So here's what I'm talking about when I talk about generations. Now, let me give you a caveat. This is a soft science, okay? There is no hard fast that says this generation ended on this day and this one started this day. But this is kind of the commonly accepted. Now, I'm not going to ask you to identify your generation. I will identify mine. I am a Gen Xer, okay? So when I speak, I am speaking from my relevant experiences as a Gen X generation. If you are below that, millennials, Gen Z, you guys were raised in a different world. And that's part of what we're going to talk about. Today, specifically, we're going to be talking about Gen Z, because that's where our seniors fall. That's where our students down here in the front fall. And so we're going to talk about them and those of us who are in previous generations, whichever one you find yourself in, how we can build those bridges and connect. So, lost my place for a moment there. See, that's why I don't do this professionally. here's the thing. If you don't understand the world that Gen Z lives in and the things that are shaping them as individuals, you are not going to be able to communicate with them. You are not going to be able to build a bridge and share relevant stories because there's that communication gap. And some of the kids down here are shaking their heads. Some of the adults are shaking their heads. So good. What we need to realize, though, is that we have to bridge that gap. We have to build communication and trust, because there's no other way that we will be able to commend God's works and to tell of his mighty acts if we have a whole generation that has tuned us out and who has deemed us as irrelevant because we can't connect with them. So, to start with, what I'd like to do is quote one of my favorite fictional philosophers. Atticus Finch said, "You never really understand a person until you consider things from his point of view, until you climb into his skin and walk around in it." Another way, and one that relates more specifically to our students, is this. The better we understand the world of young people, the better we can help them, or we can support them as they navigate it, including what it looks like to follow Jesus. In my profession, as I'm talking to other educators, as I'm talking to parents and grandparents, I'm often told or asked something along these lines. Kids today are so different from when I was a kid. Then I'm asked, why is that? I usually respond that kids aren't that different. The world is. But the more I reflect on that response, the more I realize I'm only partially correct. You see, our kids, our younger generations, have the same basic needs that we had. They need to be fed and clothed and sheltered. They need safety and security. They need a sense of love and belonging and self-image. But the way they seek and the way that they need those needs to be met are very different than the way they were met for us as an older generation. Now, what I'm about to talk about is not meant to blame or shame or hurt feelings. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to share with you some of the reasons why we're experiencing this difference from my point of view. Prior generations, we grew up outside. We played with our friends in backyards, parks, school playgrounds, the community swimming pool, anywhere and everywhere we could meet up with them. I mean, once you got a bicycle, that was freedom, and you went everywhere. We engaged in social interactions. We came up with ways to entertain ourselves. We had to resolve conflicts on our own. We had to problem solve. We developed communication, creativity, and problem solving that equipped us to deal with the world that we lived in. In 1990, or 90s actually, things started changing. What happened in the 90s is parents became more protective, which actually took away some of the opportunities for children to develop the same skills that we developed. We don't let our kids go wild like we used to do. Gen Xers, you know what I'm talking about. We were the feral generation. We don't let our kids do near what we did. Our kids today, when they go outside, it's in a confined space where we can always watch them. We control or monitor who they interact with. We try to safeguard them from any harms or sometimes any challenges at all. And what we've actually done is we have stunted their ability to create interpersonal skills. Their world is now the world of inside and of screens. Screens became more popular and more available. Children started spending more and more time in front of screens, and by this I mean screens that are connected to the internet. This really took off in 2007 with the release of the first iPhone. Some of you guys can remember that. You guys were 10 years old when that happened, just by the way. You may not have paid attention. 3 years later, the iPhone 4 was released. And the reason that was significant is the iPhone 4 was the first iPhone that had a self-facing camera. Instead of taking pictures out, we were now taking pictures in. 3 months after that phone came out, Instagram was released. Within a few months, Instagram had over 1 million followers, and it has just continued to grow and grow and grow. That was a huge game changer for our youth, and it still has incredible ramifications on them. The other thing that happened is tied to the screens. It's the constant availability of the internet and social media. It is actually wreaking havoc on the minds of our children. And I say that because what it is actually doing is actually rewiring the brains. Our children now are getting fed in their self-esteem, their self-image, through what they're receiving through their phones. Their levels of dopamine and adrenaline and things like that are not coming from being outside and engaging with other people in a real world situation, but through a screen that they are not, it's not part of their embodiment. But it's actually rewiring their brains. It also affects their sleep patterns, their self-image, their self-esteem, and it impacts their view of the world. Not only the world as a whole, but their own individual world and the relationships and what they think and what they believe. So, what this has actually done, it has led to a generation of young people experiencing mental health crises like anxiety, panic disorders, self-harm, and suicide at higher trending rates than we've ever seen before. And it's not just in America. This is actually happening worldwide because the internet is worldwide. It is incumbent on us as an older generation to intentionally listen to our younger generations so that we can better understand where they are and that we can meet them there. Right now, we try to have a conversation and we say something meaning one thing. In their vernacular, it means something totally different. And it creates a communication divide. And again, like I said, it tends to make kids think that we may be irrelevant. Now, I'm not saying that we have to totally jump into their world, but we do have to understand where they are and what they are living in. So what is the takeaway from this? Well, we need to realize that every generation is different because of the world they grew up in, and we need to be aware and understand those differences. You cannot, as a parent, as an older generation, we cannot live under the false belief that our kids are growing up just like we did, that our kids are having the same experiences, that our kids' brains are wired the same way. I had someone earlier go, "Oh, this makes sense when I talk to the staff in my workplace. Now I get it." We need to respect people and where they're at and not dismiss them. For example, when one of our young people down here says, "I am so tired all the time," please don't dismiss that. And I say that because a lot of us, and I've been guilty of it too, we have the tendency to say things like, "You're young. You shouldn't be tired. You have your whole life to be tired. This is the best part of your life." Oh. What that tells that young person is we totally don't hear them. We've got to listen to them and see where they are. Like I said, remember what Atticus Finch said. We also need to listen more than we talk. I am a firm believer that we were intentionally designed with two ears and one mouth for a purpose. You should be listening more than you're speaking. Now, my children, two of my biological children are here. They may be laughing at that, going, "That is not the man I grew up with." But as I learn better, I try to do better. And that's all I can do. Somebody put it a little more eloquently than I did. Dietrich Bonhoeffer actually said, "The beginning of love for others is learning to listen to them. God's love for us is shown by the fact that God not only gives us His word, but He also lends us His ear. Christians who can no longer listen to one another will soon no longer be listening to God. And listening, folks, doesn't just mean hearing the words. It actually means actively listening. What are they saying that they're not putting into words? Because your kids want to talk to you. They really do. You may not believe that because you think, well, every time I ask them, how was your day today? Fine. What do you want to do? I don't know. Here's the thing. They're going to try you out, and they're going to talk to you about minor things to gauge your reaction. And if you are open and receptive to that, then they're going to allow you to go deeper and have deeper conversations. The other thing, quite honestly, is we need to remember that we're directed to live out Matthew 22:39. Second greatest command, love your neighbor as yourself. Folks, your children are your neighbors. Our youth group are our neighbors. Our Gen Z, if you're, or whatever generation, the boomers, whoever, they are all our neighbors. And it is incumbent upon us, if we are going to be a unified body of Christ, we have to be able to talk to each other. Which means I cannot dismiss you because you're older than me and you just don't get it. We've got to combat that. Now, the reason, if we truly want to be a spirit-filled and spirit-led home for people who don't have a home, we've got to be able to communicate with them. And we also have to realize that some of those folks who feel like they don't have a home are sitting in this room right now with us. Now, Max Lucado said this. I heard this on the radio last week. He says, Jesus builds bridge and man builds distance. And I thought, wow, there's a lot of truth to that. We kind of love our distance. But we can't live that way if we're going to be followers of Christ. If we're going to be followers of Jesus, we have to build bridges between our generations and between our neighbors. Now, young people, I told you I was going to get to you guys. Here's the thing. When you build a bridge, you actually have to build it from both sides so that it meets in the middle. Now, that doesn't mean all the responsibility is on you, but it does mean you have to be open and receptive to when people reach out. And you have to be willing sometimes to get out of your comfort zone, because I know when people your age come into my office and they need to talk to someone about an issue, they always say, will you send them an email? Will you talk to them? Can I just text them? And the answer is no. You have to go have a face-to-face conversation. And when somebody says, hey, call this person, I know, man, that does all kinds of things to you because you don't want to talk to people. That's something you guys have to work on, but we can help you with. Okay? Fair enough? Here's the thing, folks. Jesus came to build community. And that is what the church is supposed to be, is community and family and one body. But we can't be that if we have divisions and separation and lack of communication because we don't understand each other. We have to be able to talk to each other and trust each other. Now, you guys, I did a lot of talking about you. You got to give me a little grace on that. You can, you know, throw shade at me later. Okay, if you need to. But church, this is our charge. We need to be bridge builders. That's hard to say with a dry mouth. We need to be bridge builders, not only to people our own age, but to people older than us, people younger than us. We've got to build those connections. It takes work, and it takes vulnerability. And it's going to cause some anxiety and discomfort. But it's going to be so worth it when we do that. That's when we truly experience family and community within the church and without. Will you pray with me? Father God, you are such a good father. You just lavish us with gifts and love. And Lord, we crave that. And we crave the community that you have designed for us. And Lord, we live in a world that is trying to rip us apart. Lord, help us instead be bridge builders. Help us build connections and relationships. Father, help us be the model to the world so that they look at us and know that your way is a better way. Father, we just thank you so much for Jesus, for his example, for what he modeled, for what he taught us, and Father, just his love. And it's in his name that we pray. One of the things that we do at this church is we believe in prayer. We believe in the power of prayer. And what we're going to do is, as the praise team sings this next song, we're going to give you the opportunity. We have some folks who will be at the back of the auditorium. And if you have something on your heart, whether it's a hurt or a celebration, we invite you to take advantage of going back and praying with someone at this time.